what's coming up on today's experience. Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but there's a time to laugh, and it might as well be right now. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. After listening to the media, pretty much everybody should know Jesus is coming back very soon. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use. Probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because everything we do is hopefully a blessing, at least most of it, or some of it anyway. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Here's your question. Not will you be a blessing? You know you should be a blessing. How are you going to be a blessing? Now you come before the Lord, you pray, you say, how do you want me to bless today? Offering yourself as an instrument to His glory and to His honor. If you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness, because that just seems sad. Just give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite Dave.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid Dynamite.
All right, folks, this is one of D's favorite. Talking to Dynamite D is like finding an unexpected bonus check in your work pay.
Who doesn't love that one?
How do you not just go, yeah, what? I got an extra what? Yeah, okay, I love it. So that's one thing you can do. You can reach out to us, and if you talk to Dynamite D, that feeling of getting that extra check, that's what it's like to talk to him. How could you not want to talk to
that's
somebody then?
One.
I mean, that's just wonderful. You can also text us, by the way, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Semi-professional voice now.
214-210-8483.
Ooh, that was a good one. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. You can do that live during the show. It's really kind of fun. So you can text, you can call, you can email. Like Al has already reached out to us, and we asked, how can you be a blessing? And Al told everybody, just with my presence, I can be a blessing. There you go, Al. That's a pretty good answer. Additionally, we're going to send you to the website, because there's so much stuff on the website. It will take you weeks and months and years to go through everything. Not really. But there's a lot of cool stuff on there anyway. Additionally, on there is a place to give. We kind of feel that's important because that's what sustains the ministry. We don't promise you a Lamborghini or a donut. We promise you a receipt at the end of the year from our 100% tax-deductible nonprofit corporation. The scripture we're going to use today, Luke 6:38, given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your laps. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Quick comment on that. Who does that measuring? God. That's who does it. You're welcome to give. It's on the website. You're welcome to fill out the prayer or the praise report form on the website. Check it out at hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
There you go. All right, so we want to say hi to everybody that's in San Diego, everybody that's in Dallas. We're doing this together. We are a family. We have one Heavenly Father. We are blood relatives through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we drink of one Holy Spirit. The unity is there. The Scripture says keep the unity, don't find the unity. So we need to keep what's already there. It's in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not that complex if we really want to think about it. But in lieu of all that, it's time to get into something that guides us, directs us, and that's the very breath of God poured upon man, poured in the verbal plenary process, which means God communicated what he wanted to communicate using people, but without them losing their personality, which is why you have so many cool connections in the Scriptures when you have the Holy Spirit speaking and the person speaking, and it resonates and speaks to you. And oh, by the way, it was the very Spirit of God that was breathed into Adam is the very Spirit of God that's breathed into the Word. Hey, what happened when the breath of God went into Adam? Oh, he became alive. Oh, okay, there you go. Let's get right into the text, because this, my friends, is not necessarily easy, but it is always great because it is the Word of God. We're looking at Matthew chapter 12, for those that do not remember Matthew chapter 12, and we're looking at verse 43. Before we say anything, I just want to point out verse 38 through 42 is talking about the sign of Jonah, talking about Jesus coming as the Messiah, talking about him speaking to the generation, and they wanted a sign. He's like, evil generation looks for a sign. And so we go through this whole process. We talked about that the last time we were on this scripture. Now we're picking it right back up from that moment in verse 43. When an evil, just out of nowhere, Jesus goes, when an evil spirit leaves a person and goes into a desert seeking but finding nothing, then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and clean. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they all enter that person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. Ooh, a lot of people missed those last three, four words of this evil generation. So let's make sure we understand what's going on. We give you the overall read and then give you the context read. In Matthew's book, it's a passage that's puzzled many interpreters. How do I know? Well, besides that, I have 95 different commentaries on electronic file. You think I'm kidding? That sort of cost me a fortune. Anyway, there's many commentators that just don't want to comment. That's how you know. That's how you know what's going on. It's people who go, next verse. Like, wow, that's weird. Anyway, I'm not entirely convinced it should be that much trouble. I think we should look at it straightforward and then look at it in context. Jesus mentions that when an evil spirit departs from a person, it wanders through a desert, seeking rest but finding none. The spirit then decides to return to its previous host, only to find the person empty and vulnerable. Consequently, the spirit brings along with it other dark spirits to inhabit the vacant space. While interpretations of this passage may vary, it's essential, and I wrote this, by the way, to recognize that individuals who remain spiritually empty and haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit are susceptible to frequent influences of darkness. Can't escape this. I know people are going to go, no. Just stop that. You know, just stop. Stop trying to be less mature or more mature. Just be you in the Lord, in the Word. It's pretty straightforward. Remember the lepers that got saved, and Jesus, what did he do? It was the healed, and then nine left. They all left, and only one came back and said thank you. Remember that story? Only one came back and said thank you. And it's like, oh, the one's really getting saved here. It doesn't mean that people don't receive benefit from the Lord. Many people receive benefit from the Lord. And they get cleaned. They get healed. They get touched. But to leave yourself empty is just the dumbest thing ever. And so maybe you got saved and, yeah, I'm saved. But you never asked the Lord to fill you up. People are like, we talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We talking about the order of procession? No, the order of procession actually has to do with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are we talking about the order of salutis? Now you're getting closer. And so then the order of salutis, that's the order of salvation. What happens? So far? No, I'm not talking about any of that. But you got to be talking about soteriology. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting saved and saying, Lord, I got a lot of yucky stuff in me, and now you saved me, fill me up. Does he not give the Holy Spirit to those that ask, or is that just for Luke chapter 11?
It's like, what do you think it's just for Luke chapter 11? You're
involved in that. And so when you've given yourself to the Lord, if you've not, the scripture's pretty clear. If you want to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, just look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It's like, yeah, be filled with the Spirit. It's not an option, it's a command. Why? Because if you're empty, other things can start taking up residency. Well, that's just a bad idea. But now let's look at it in the full context, because I don't want you to miss this, right? In the context that you was, now that teaching I just shared with you, that's completely valid. If you were saved and never asked the Lord to fill you up, that's dumb. How's that? People are like, you should do this. Okay, watch. That's dumb. Ask the Lord to fill you up. That's what you do. Well, what about the big theological? Just ask God to fill you up through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. The rest of it's on him, not you. Now, with that in context, remember that Jesus was talking about what? He was talking about the Pharisees wanted to have a sign.
We want a sign. We don't believe that you're the Messiah. You're going to have to prove it.
And Jesus is like, yeah, the only sign you're getting is the one of Jonah, which they all probably looked at each other saying, what kind of sign is that? The dude was in the fish. How does that help us? So anyway, in that same context, Jesus talking about this same generation, which he just previously condemned about six verses earlier, is simply this. The complex nature of this passage is critical to understand that Jesus directs this reference towards the generation of his time. Perhaps it was his way of pointing out that rejecting him as the Messiah and failing to invite him to fill the emptiness allows the infiltration of demonic and godless influences. In other words, or easier said, because I wrote that overly complex, rejecting the filling of the empty because Jesus saves them leads to other lies of worship. In other words, when you say no to Jesus and you don't allow him to fill you up, you open yourself up to other winds and waves that are not godly. And you're trying to figure out why the world is worshiping the earth or worshiping money or worship. There it is. What's going on there? They're worshiping sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Why? Because they didn't fill up with Jesus. They didn't say yes. They didn't accept Jesus as Messiah. So they're looking to plug the hole. How about that? You're just like, well, wait.
I gotta warn us first, Dave. That was a good one.
I know. This is a tougher stuff when you get into that.
I don't know if this is a theology question, Dave, but something that's interesting. You know, we love this type of stuff. But when reading that scripture, Dave, and it said the demons passed through waterless places seeking rest. What is that about?
Desert places. So waterless places as they're going through the desert. So in other words, they're looking for somewhere to hang on to so that they can, let's say, express themselves and stretch and have a connection to. Waterless places or desert places means they're not finding any connection anywhere, so they're looking for it. And so when they're looking for those connections and then people reject Jesus, it's like a magnet.
We can end the show on that. Wow.
Just think about that. Now, while you're thinking about that,
because that is deep. People are like, wait.
No, that's just not even. Nope, that's right. It's in context as to a generation. Personally, if you accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and then nothing's ever happened, I got a great message for you. Stop listening to the show. Turn everything off. Go in your closet and say, God, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, fill me up with your Spirit. There you go. That would be the right move. I'm just telling you. You don't get mad at me. I'm not, you know. Okay, now having said that and all of that, take a deep breath. We'll get into our first trivia question. So it doesn't matter whether you're in Dallas or it doesn't matter whether you're in San Diego. We do trivia, and trivia is a great way to keep things going in your brain. You think, why don't you just keep teaching? Because if I kept teaching like this without stopping, my own brain would be hurting. And I only have limited capacity in my brain. I don't know about you guys, but mine's really limited. Anyway, here's your first trivia question. Who did King Melchizedek bless? Did he bless Jacob, Abraham, or Joshua? Who did King Melchizedek, King of Salem, who did King Melchizedek bless? Jacob, Abraham, or Joshua? That is the question. You are welcome, by the way, to contact us via the phone. I know, it's the telly, but it still works. 972-445-0770. You can also reach out to us by text. 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. It's a pretty straightforward question. Who did King Melchizedek bless? Was it Jacob, Abraham, or Joshua? That is the question that is on the table. Thank you very much. Okay, now. Now, having done all that, people are like going, wait, did we just go through a blitz? Like, yes, somebody is calling in, so we'll... People are like, what? I know, but see, here's the thing. The thing is, people, they, when you first started off and things were like on fire and great and so on and so forth, that comes from the Lord. Then go back to the Lord and get it. It's not past you. He can do anything, and he's generous. Will he not give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Ask. Well, Jesus was theologically incorrect. Well, that's if you're a denomination and not a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. So we'll just leave that there. Somebody is ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Miss Robertson. All is well with you?
All is well with me. How are you? It's wonderful to hear you.
It's good to hear you, too. All is well this way. Thank you for asking.
All right, here we go. Now, this, you're going to know this, and I know you're going to know this, so you better get ready. Ready? Who did King Melchizedek bless, Jacob, Abraham, or Joshua?
Abraham!
That is correct, Amanda! You are 1,000% correcty. That is absolutely right. He blessed him, and he's just, it was so phenomenal because, of course, Jesus is connected to Melchizedek, but what a cool story. And Abraham blessed him, and first thing he did was he said, thank you, Lord, for his victory, right?
Amen. That's right.
Amen. That's it. What a pleasure to hear from you. You got to call more often. We love it.
I sure will. God bless you and your
All right.
family.
Take Bye-bye. Care. God bless you, too. Bye-bye. Excellent job. Because we have wonderful people.
You know, David, it's funny you said that. I told her, I said, you got to call a little bit more often. And so it's funny you said that.
See how we are.
I said, you call once a month, maybe.
Yeah, we're annoying that way. But it's annoying lovingly, you know.
In a good way.
It's like when you have a family member and they cook something really good and you go, well, you're going to make those. And like, well, I wasn't going to. It's like, oh, you're going to make those, right? Because they're really good. You're going to. You know, Don, the one person, like, they can make this one thing. It's like, no, you're going to make those, right?
I mean, right.
That's okay. Okay, so we got that. Now I want to get into the next test because, look, this is all part of the passage. So I'm going to teach something you're going to get really mad about, maybe. I don't know. You probably won't get that mad, but you should be aware of it, and there's a reason I'm going to bring it up. So now that's that story. Now we're at verse 46. So now you have a change of situation. It says this in chapter 46, Matthew 12. As Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brothers were where? Outside. Everybody see it? Their mother and brothers were outside. What do you mean outside? Doesn't that mean that Jesus would be inside? Huh, I guess that probably would be the logical conclusion. His mother and brothers were outside wanting to talk with him. Somebody told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside. We're outside, and they want to speak to you. Jesus asked, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Then he pointed to his disciples and said, these are my mother and brothers. And anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Now, I'm going to only go to the next verse so you can follow the context because it is important. And the break probably shouldn't have been here in the numbers, but that's all right. It says this, later that same day, Jesus left the, what does that say? Jesus left the house. You see that? Okay, there we see house, right? Jesus left the house. Got that? What does it say in the ESV?
Sorry, Dave, I was marking stuff up. What verse are we on?
We're on 13:1.
13:1 says that same day Jesus went out the house.
What? The house. Yeah. The house. The house. Does everybody understand that? Not just the guy who's doing the television show as a medical guy. The house. He left the house. What do you mean he left the house? You just got to get this. Jesus had a base of operation. Well, wait, Dave. Didn't Jesus say the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head? How does that work? Because when he said that, he was heading to a city he hadn't been to before. And so when the guys were talking to him and like Jesus said, follow me. Well, Jesus said, well, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That's because he was going to a place where he had nowhere to lay his head. He was going to another location. So what people have done is said, see, Jesus never had a base. He never had a place of operation. Wrong. This is wrong. This is not what it says. When it says he didn't have a place to lay his head, that has to do with where he was heading to. He had no place to lay his head. So people have taken that and they've made it more than it is. Jesus was homeless. That's not what it says. That's not what he said. That's not what it says. And this, how do you know? It's because it says right there in chapter 13, verse 1, he left the house. You have to leave a house. You have to be in a house to leave it, right? I mean, this isn't rocket science. So go back to verse 46. As Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brothers were outside wanting to talk with him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and brothers are outside and they want to speak with you. So the reason I'm bringing this up is just so that you don't, it's not that it's so bad that somebody thinks that, but it's not necessary to add into things that, like, from a dynamically fascinating point of view. Jesus was in a house. His mother and brothers stood outside. They wanted to speak to him. We're not certain of the purpose of their conversation. There's a little bit of argument on that, but it's evident he was inside a house, and this is confirmed by chapter 13, verse 1, where it mentions he left the house. It's like, okay, fine. Then what he teaches, though, is the next critical nature, and what does he say? He says, after they say, hey, guess what? Mom and bros, your brothers and sisters are, like, right there. They're, like, waiting to talk to you, dude. Dude, they want to talk to you. You get that? Okay. I want everybody to kind of catch what's going on here. And actually, it doesn't say sisters. It's mothers and brothers. That's my fault. So mothers and brothers, they're waiting to talk to you. So, geez, they want to speak to you, which is not abnormal. Hey, mom and dad's outside and your brother's outside. They want to talk to you. Verse 48, Jesus said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And he pointed to his disciples and said, these are my mother and my brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So women are not excluded, and people that say that there's a word there called sister. Stop. Read it. Okay. And I'm not trying to downgrade on everybody. I'm just saying include it all. It's all right there together. And Jesus isn't saying that the natural family is not important. He did not say that. That's not what he says. Okay. What he's saying is he's clarifying the family does hold significance, because if it didn't, he wouldn't have bothered teaching about family. But what he's also teaching is this. There's a huge significance in spiritual family ties. When asked about his mother and brothers, he replies that those who do the will of his Father are considered his true family. The reason that he's saying that is the earthly family that you have, which is important, only lasts for a lifetime. But your spiritual family lasts for eternity. So what's more important? This 100 years or the next 20 billion? So it's not, okay. There's nowhere to go with it. He's prioritizing eternal families, especially as Jesus taught to lay up treasures in heaven. It's like, okay. Doesn't mean you're supposed to ignore your family. In fact, we just talked about Paul yesterday talking about the need to take care of your family. Your own personal family. It's not what Jesus is doing is saying, don't miss my teachings. Eternity is the place where you put everything. I tell Noelle, she's my best friend, my wife. I just tell her, I said, you are the second best decision that I've ever made. And you know what she tells me? She told me today, I am blessed and proud to be second. She'll never be first because she's not the Lord. That's how it goes. And the Lord's stuff is first. And you're like, well, that's wrong. No, the other way is wrong. You take care of the creator creation element first, then go from there.
It seems simple, Dave, but I guess it's not for some.
Well, that's because people worship the creation more than the creator, which is its own set of sins. See, when you don't fill up with Jesus, you fill it up with other lies. And there's one of them right there. Oh, yes! Okay. You guys are thinking, what's wrong with me? Everything. But then you're listening, so what's wrong with you? Okay. So we got our trivia answer question. So I just want you to understand, it's not a neglect of your family, but it is a high priority to raise up the standard to understand your spiritual family. That is who you're spending eternity with. Your brother in the Lord is your brother forever.
your brother in the flesh may not be, depending on where they go, right? All right.
All right, so now as we wind it down, we're telling people right now in San Diego, if you want to keep listening, you can do that by going to hemustincrease.org, and then there's a Listen Live button, or you can listen to the fantastic shows that are on KBRIGHT 1240. So that's okay. For us in Texas, we're just going to keep it going here at KAAM 770, taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Feels like I've been running.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations. And is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
Job, I want to read Job 3:25. I don't want anybody looking. I know that the teachings in the church and being a Baptist, somebody who's got a Baptist ordination, a Pentecost ordination, somebody who understands what Calminian means, understands what the manifold millennialist is. I get it. I really do. I've been around for a little while. I just, when you're hearing scripture, you don't have to put all the scriptures you hear in certain boxes so they fit your motif of a theology. Sometimes you can just look at it and observe it and go right for it and review it. And Job chapter 3, verse 25, one of the things that Job said is, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. There's a whole teaching on, it's because your confession wasn't good. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think God was bragging about Job to Satan. Job didn't know that was going on. That's obvious. But there he is. God's bragging about him. And what Job is like going is like, this is the worst thing that I could think of. And that happens to people. Believers. Good believers. Great believers. Fantastic believers. Lousy believers. Believers. And everybody else. It's something that takes place. Sometimes bad things come about in the process. That doesn't mean that God hates you. That doesn't. First of all, the world has rebelled against God and lies in wickedness. So it's not God's fault that the world said, hey, we'll run this planet without you. We'll let you know. I mean, that's not God's fault. He's not the one that did that. People did that. And so the idea to understand is that sometimes these tough things happen. The great thing to know is that God has not left and went to Pluto while you're going through these things. In this particular case, in Job, it was completely the opposite of what Job thought because God was bragging about him and Job thought he was in some kind of trouble or some kind of judgment. Hey, guess what? Job was wrong. Something else was going on altogether, which is often the case.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.